From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM HD Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics lost at home to Indiana last night, 99-97. Marcus Smart scored 20 points, but his team finished the game without Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, and Daniel Tice.
I mean, we're all professionals, so you know we have no excuses. Guys out, that's opportunity for other guys to come in and make impacts for this team. So we have to do that, and you know we have to lock in and hone in on things and execute when Coach writes something up for us.
Terry Rozier missed a fallaway at the buzzer that would have forced overtime. Horford sat out with an illness. Irving didn't play in the second half thanks to knee soreness, and Tice reportedly is going to have an MRI on his knee after hurting himself in the final minute. The Green play the Washington Wizards at the Garden on Wednesday night. Bruins had their six-game winning streak snapped in Chicago yesterday, 3-1 by the Blackhawks in the back end of a home-and-home. Blackhawks scored twice in the final 4 minutes for the win after Zdeno Chara had tied the game earlier in the third period. Bruins visit Carolina tomorrow night. Red Sox lost again. They were beaten by Baltimore yesterday, 7-3 in Fort Myers, Florida. Team will visit Toronto today in Dunedin, Florida. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets underway tomorrow night. Top seeds this year are Virginia, Xavier, Villanova, and Kansas. Providence is a 10 seed in the West. They get Texas A&M on Friday. Rhode Island a 7 seed in the Midwest. They play Oklahoma Thursday. Boston College is in the NIT this year. They visit Western Kentucky tomorrow night in round one. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurant and Pub. They've got two real-size entrees for just $9.99. Nine real-size entrees rather for just $9.99, like their crispy fish tacos. Real meals at a real value, only at the 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's Home for Sports. Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Dutcher and Rich.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Dan the Man Roach in for Rich today and tomorrow. Tom Brady, local hero Tom Brady, was on Good Morning America. Apparently he's popping back on in a little bit. I guess Good Morning America, it's too much. You can't just lump all the Brady in at once. You got to have him on.
Leave him sitting there for about 20 minutes.
Right, back to the green room.
You have him on for 3 minutes, and then you pop him off for an hour, and then bring him back.
Enjoy
for three
the crackers
minutes.
And cheese, Tom. Come right. on back in a little
we'll
bit.
We'll be back with more with Tom Brady next hour.
Good.
All right, so Tom Brady sits down with Michael Strahan, and since every time Brady talks, it's worth listening to, here is Tom Brady with Michael Strahan from 15 minutes ago.
I remember at a dinner with you, with Giselle, with your wife, and she came up to me and said, Michael, you need to talk to my husband. I'm like, for what?
I know.
Because when I met him, he said he wanted to play 10 more years.
I know.
I've been with him for 5 years, and he still said he wants to play 10 more years.
I know.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You still say you want to play 5 more years.
Yeah. I wasn't a great math student back then, so I tried to tell her, she's right. I did say that because, you know, when we met, I was, 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, if I could get to 40, it'd be amazing. And it'd be a great career in 18 years in the NFL and learned a lot. And it's been such a great love for me. I love the sport. I love the competition. I love my teammates. I love working with people that I love to work with. And so that part's really hard to give up, especially when I feel like I could do it. And I look around the league and I see these other quarterbacks and I'm thinking, man, I could do what they do. And I want to continue.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cut.
I look back and see how bad the quarterback is elsewhere.
I'm looking back at these other guys who suck, and I go, hey, well, if Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in NFL history, hey, I'll probably stick around for a while, play till I'm 60.
He's not wrong, right?
No. I mean, Josh McCown played quarterback. He was 38 years old, and he's Josh McCown.
He was good.
And he was good at times, yes.
Yeah.
I love my teammates. I love working with people that I love to work with. And so that part's really hard to give up, especially when I feel like I could do it. And I look around the league and I see these other quarterbacks and I'm thinking, man, I could do what they do. And I want to continue to do it as best I can because it's really brings a lot of joy to my life.
And you hear that, Fred, and you're just like, you listen to the passion in his voice. That's what always gets me, is that he's not going to be one of these guys that can give this up. Right. You know what I mean? No matter how much money he's made, no matter how many Super Bowls he's won, played in, or everything, you hear the passion in his voice right there. He's going to have a hard time letting the game go.
You say that, and it makes me think, you know, this new contract that he has, they want him to be a Patriot for life. There's going to be a period of time where he's, I'll just throw out a number, 45, 46, right, whatever the case may be, and he's no longer a viable option for this team. But he wants to keep playing, and there's going to be all the greats have had it happen. Joe Montana goes to Kansas City. Joe Namath goes to the Rams. There's going to be a time where Smith goes to the Arizona Cardinals. There's going to be a time where Brady is a starting quarterback for Team X, Tennessee, Arizona, somewhere. Or maybe, say, Garoppolo gets hurt in San Francisco and they sign Brady to be the quarterback for four games, you know, just to say goodbye in his own hometown. There's going to be a year like that at the end of his career.
If he wants to hang on, if you're a Patriots fan, you got to hope that he plays for someone else. Because if you don't have a succession plan in order in, you know, 2 or 3 years.
No, they're going to take a quarterback this year in the draft. They really don't have a choice. They have to take a quarterback this year.
Will Belichick be the guy to tell Brady that? Do you think Bill will still be here?
I don't think it's time to tell him. Well, I think we learned it's not Belichick's call.
No, we know that. But I'm saying, do you think by then still Belichick will be at the helm?
No, there'll be a big story about how emotional it is, and maybe it's Kraft that does it, but there'll be a joint press conference, and this is a very emotional time for me and the entire family. You know, we've kind of grown up together, me as an owner and him as a quarterback. There'll be this big press conference to say goodbye to Brady how the team didn't want to do it, but they have to move forward.
I don't think that the Krafts would want to do that, and I don't think whoever's coaching at that time is going to have the power to make that decision.
Maybe not, but ultimately it's going to get to a point where Brady can't do it anymore, and he's going to want to keep playing.
I'm wondering what the Patriots do in that case.
Well, it sounds like it'll almost be, to play that out, to go further than that with John, is it almost sounds like Brady's going to have to be the guy that goes to them to say, I want out of here because I'm not, you know, it looks like I'm not going to play, or, you know what I mean?
That's fair.
That's kind of how it might be. Tom might have to be the angry one to say goodbye for now.
Because that makes it easier on everybody.
Because of my dealings with the Krafts, which is not much, and then what I read and what's happened, I just can't see them. I mean, they love Brady. Way beyond being a football player.
Like, he's a son.
No, but you're right. It's going to have to be Brady going to them. I agree with you, Danny. It's going to have to be Brady going to them and say, look, if you're not going to play me, send me somewhere else where I can play.
And I go back to our, you know, preseason production meetings when he sat in with us, you know, one time this year. He looked you in the eye, just like he did. He sounds here, and he's continuing it. He looked you in the eye and said, I believe I could play till I'm 45. And then he would go on and on and on about the reasons why and everything else. He's still heading down that road, so that ain't stopping. So I guess that's good news for Patriots fans.
It depends. I mean, you know, it depends. By the way, before we get back to the audio, they have the Boston Globe did a story that 42 out of about 100 Patriots who remembers the New England's first three Super Bowl titles have sued the NFL and the helmet maker Riddell. Because they've experienced symptoms of brain injury caused by repetitive head impacts as absorbed in games and practices. Here's more of Tom Brady.
And, you know, you have your wife, you have your kids, you have to find that balance. When it does become time to retire, how much does that factor into your decision?
Well, that would be a big part of it. I think you can't make decisions necessarily just for yourself. And I think that's one thing I've learned as I've gotten older. You know, collateral effects to every decision that I make. And, you know, I have a wife that is very, you know, aspires to be a lot of things, and she travels a lot. And, you know, our kids, my oldest son lives here in New York, and, you know, three kids, and you're just always trying to juggle, and you want to be there for them, and you want to be there for the hockey games and the soccer games. And, you know, but you also realize the level of commitment it takes to give as much as you can to the team that needs you. So, again, I think you're always trying to find that. I think most professionals probably feel the same way. It's sometimes it gets out of balance, and you got to figure out how to, you know, bring it back to a point where it feels great for, you know, for everybody involved.
And we're going to look at an exclusive clip from the final episode of Tom vs. Time.
Daddy, you know what? Read this,
Daddy.
It says Minnesota.
Super Bowl, Papa. Minnesota Super Bowl.
Daddy, you know what?
The kid gets to have hot chocolate?
I don't know.
That's the biggest shocker out of this
whole
thing.
An alarm went off on Tom, though.
Yeah.
He's what?
What's going on over there?
Is that cocoa bean?
To make you win.
Yeah, you are here to help Daddy win.
Yes.
You're so loud.
Yes, we are.
We get to see the real you. How was it for you to put your kids on TV to let everybody see your life away from the field?
Well, I think it was a great experience for me because I got to share a lot of things that, you know, a lot of fans never get a chance to see. And I think there's always a balance between, you know, a private life and a public life. And I think I chose a very public profession. So with the amount of fans that have, you know, really enjoyed the show, when I reflect back and think about the decision to do it, I think, what a great decision, because, you know, so many people have come up to me and said, thanks for doing that. You know, it was really cool to see. And a lot of young athletes were, you know, inspired by, you know, the level of work it takes to, you know, get to a certain point in your career. And I think that's been a great payoff for me. It was hard work. We spent a lot of time last off season and this season a little bit of time, but it was really, really a great series.
All right. Well, Tom Brady will be back to continue the discussion. Michael Strahan not mentioning the defeat in the Super Bowl at the hands of the Giants that he was a part of. Not even any lighthearted ball busting that you might have expected. Tom Brady going to play until he's 45. He'd be 41 going into the season, correct?
Did he just turn 40?
Yeah, he'll turn 41 in training camp.
In training camp.
That's right. Because they always serenade him as he comes out on that day.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They give him a cake at the end, the team.
Yeah. And what, does he ignore it?
No. I know. I don't know if he has a slice or not. It's a good question.
You deal with Brady. How often do you talk to Brady a year?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, you get a sit-down with Brady.
Yeah. In the production meetings, we got one this year. I don't sit down with him. If anybody would, it would be Steve, you know, in our building. So, I mean, just to say hi and stuff like that in the locker room. Nothing major.
He's like, hey, Roche!
No.
He's like, hey, Dan the man!
No. Hey.
All right. Be nice if he was nicer to you, you know?
I know!
All right, Jason LaConfora is going to join us.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jason LaConfora, NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, is kind enough to join us. Mr. LaConfora, hello, sir.
How's it going?
It is going well. We appreciate you joining us. First off, tell us what you know about Danny Shelton, and did you like the move the Patriots made?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is kind of what they've done in several cases over the years, right? They find somebody who's still on his rookie contract, who maybe was overdrafted, hasn't quite panned out the way his original team thought that he would have. And in this case, it's once again, the guy's original team has had a transition change, or they've actually probably had two since Shelton was drafted. So, you know, I think Shelton was originally drafted by Ray Farmer. That's two GMs ago in Cleveland. So you know that it's a guy who might not be in his current team's future plans, and you have a role for him, and you don't need him to be everything that his original team wanted him to be. You just need him to, in this case, help be a run stuffer and, you know, be a big body, plug the middle of that defensive line. When Cleveland drafted him as high as they did, they thought this was going to be a Geno Atkins type, a guy who could do it all, could collapse the pocket from the inside, who would penetrate, and who would be a mammoth run stopper as well. But that hasn't worked out, but, yeah, the Patriots didn't invest that high first-round pick in him. So I get it. You know, you look at what they've done with Barkevious Mingo, Kyle Van Noy, guys like that over the years, and I think the list probably goes deeper than that of players who maybe weren't quite fitting in the way their team hoped they would, but who Belichick has a role for in mind and knows how he would fit their rotation, knows what the player does well, and knows what the player can't really do.
All right, Jason, Deion Lewis going to be a free agent. It's pretty obvious Patriots aren't going to bring him back at the money he will probably command on the open market. I know the Jets are one of the teams that are interested. Tennessee is in there. Indianapolis is in there. But there could be some more, right?
Yeah, there absolutely could be. This is a guy who, look, it's him, and then it's Jerick McKinnon, and then there's even a drop-off after that. And Jerick McKinnon, even though he's never really been the guy or had to be the feature back for any extended period. And his opportunities have often come when other guys, you know, got suspended, like, you know, Adrian Peterson, or got hurt, like Dalvin Cook this year, is still someone who people look at what he can do in space, what he can do catching the football, and they're intrigued by him. And Deion's even, you know, obviously done much more than McKinnon, and he can run tough between the tackles. He can do all those same things out in space. And you're right, there's probably going to be 6 to 8 teams that at least touch base with his agent in the next 72 hours. And there'll be 4 to 5 that come at him pretty strong. You know, the Colts, the 49ers. There's a number of teams. And even the Browns. I mean, the Browns have their irons in a lot of fires. They're not going to get everybody they want. I mean, Deion Lewis is a player who could end up back with them. So, yeah, at the end of the day, given the limitations of the Patriots cap situation, given the Nate Solder situation and Danny Amendola, and they've also got to figure things out with Gronk, I'm guessing Deion Lewis becomes a little too rich for their blood. And let's face it, they've always been about collecting backs there who are, you know, relatively cheap. They're not in the market for paying a back $4.5-5 million a year. That's really not, I mean, they never even had to do that for LeGarrette Blount when he was leading the league in touchdowns. So I have a feeling he moves on.
All right. You mentioned Nate Solder. There's a belief here that he has connections to the area that might make him take a little bit less money to stay here. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everything he's been through, his family situation, their comfort level in New England, there's a lot of reasons why you would say it makes sense to stay. There's a lot of dots you have to connect. But, you know, what is his market? And is there any other tackle out there who's close to him? And does he become a player that one particular team says, you know what, this is the best of breed, this is the only way to get him, so I don't care if we pay 33% more than what the market would, because we've got $85 million in cap space and we can't spend it all if we try. So, you know, I wouldn't just, you know, assume that he's absolutely a New England Patriot next year, because there are not that many blue chip players out there. And especially on the offensive line, you know, it's him and it's the guard from Carolina, Norwell, and then there's a substantial drop off. So things may get batty to a point where somebody puts something in front of him financially that almost sort of makes the decision for him. You know, it only takes one team to do that. And the state of offensive line play in this league, as we all know, is atrocious. And this free agent class of offensive linemen is, by and large, fairly atrocious. So he sticks out pretty prominently, given his resume, what he's accomplished, the body type he has.
Jason LaConfora, all right, you mentioned Gronkowski as well. And we've been analyzing every tweet, even ones that don't make any sense. And trying to figure out what exactly his plans are. He's one of the few guys in the NFL that seems like he could retire, you know, and go about his business and make a living doing stuff in entertainment. What are you hearing about him, and what do you think the chances are he's serious about maybe not coming back?
I mean, he's not saying a whole lot right now. My read on the situation is that he will be back, but he needs, you know, the Patriots are going to have to re-recruit him and show him the love and, you know, let him know how important he is. And look, he's arguably the greatest tight end in NFL history, and the compensation doesn't equal that. And you could make the case, well, they won a Super Bowl without him. And that's true. It happened. He was hurt that year. But you could also make the case that when this team doesn't have him and it doesn't have Edelman, that it's not the same football team. And you've got Edelman coming back from injury, and you know, Gronk is a freak of nature. And I think it's good at the right time, and I don't know when that is. Obviously, there's things going on in free agency now, and there's you know, front burner issues that have to be taken care of. But, you know, sometime before the draft, certainly, I think they're going to have to engage him after you've given him enough time to mull his options, and come at him with something that, you know, lets him know exactly how much the Patriots think of him. I think that's where they are in this relationship, is he's waiting to be shown the love again. And that comes through words, but ultimately it comes through money.
All right, Jason, obviously the top name on the market now that we've reached the legal tampering period is Kirk Cousins. In Minnesota, Arizona, the Jets, those are the three teams that are apparently the front runners, at least at the starting line.
Vikings.
I'm sorry, did I mention the Vikings?
No, you didn't mention them.
Yeah, the Vikings.
You didn't mention them, John.
Okay, the Vikings, Arizona, and the Jets are apparently the front runners. But from what I'm reading here, Cousins isn't taking any meetings here. They just have to
exactly
pitch him.
The opposite. So I don't know where that story came from. I've heard throughout this process that he does not want to make a $150 million commitment over the telephone. You know, a 5 or 6 year commitment over the telephone. He doesn't want to have happen to him what happened to Brock Osweiler, which is, you know, the front office comes at you pretty hard. You don't meet the coach. You have one conversation with the coach, and then you get there, and it's like, oh, the coach didn't really want this guy, and you get sort of caught up. I'm not making excuses for Brock Osweiler. He made a lot of money, and he was absolutely horrible. But I just have a hard time thinking that Cousins is sitting at his house, in wherever, Northern Virginia, if he's still there, or wherever, and letting his agents just do all this over the phone, and he's like, okay, just tell me where to go. I'd be very surprised if it played out that way. I do still believe he'll take visits. And I don't think he'll take any more than two visits, and if he does take two visits, it's the Jets, and it's Minnesota. I'm not buying Denver. I'm not buying Arizona as being able to get into the deep end of this pool. You've got the Jets, who have the wherewithal to throw incredible amounts of money and cap space at him. And you have the Vikings, who have, of all his potential suitors, the best current roster, the team that made the playoffs last year, had a really nice playoff run with Case Keenum, and, you know, almost played a Super Bowl in their own stadium with Case Keenum. So it comes down to those two teams, and we'll see if the Jets make him an offer he can't refuse.
How much do you like Cousins? Because now that's being debated. If you look at his record against good teams, it's not very good. If you were a team like the Jets, would you throw that kind of money at him?
If I have $100 million in cap space, and I've been down this road now where the prior regime, you know, blew it by overpaying Mark Sanchez and drafting Geno, and then the next regime overdrafted Geno Smith, and now we've tried Hackenberg and Petty, and that's not working, and we got, you know, we screwed it up with Fitzpatrick and shouldn't have brought him back the second year. That, yeah, if you look at the totality of that, and I'm the Jets, and now I'm sitting here with incredible amounts of money and over $100 million in cap space, I would go all in on Kirk Cousins. And really, it's a two-team race. You've got to beat one other team for his services, Minnesota. Now, they're a better team, but it doesn't mean that you can't make a better offer and you can't make a better presentation to him that plays on his emotions. This is a guy who never felt like he was the man in Washington. He always felt like he was competing with the ghost of RG3. Washington never showed him the love. Washington never engaged deeply in negotiations with him. Washington just threw the franchise tag on him a couple times. And, you know, we're like, we still don't buy it, do it again. So the Jets have an opportunity to kind of show him all the love and play sort of on his emotions on the mental side of this, and not just the checkbook side of this, in a way that the Redskins never did. And not that Minnesota won't come at him with a lot of money, but I don't think Minnesota could go for $50, $55 million in year one. You know, I don't think Minnesota could give him a $35 million base salary and a $20 million signing bonus and still be okay to function as a team. I think that would handicap their ability to continue building that thing the way they have, where with the Jets, they could do that and still go get Malcolm Butler and Avery Williamson and, you know, Deion Lewis. So that's just where they are. They tore it down. You know, they've already had their misery there. They've parted ways with Mangold and DeBrickashaw and Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall and David Harris. And, you know, they've gone through all that, and now they're in a position where he's obviously their prime target, and they're going to do whatever they can to get him. And I don't blame them for doing that. And I do think Kirk Cousins is, you know, a top 10 quarterback. He may not win the game for you every week, but he's not going to lose them for you, and he'll win enough of them.
All right, Jason, looking forward. It's always a pleasure. NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. We always appreciate it, sir.
No worries. Have a good game.
All right, appreciate it. There you go, and then the dog.
Ooh, I know. Mm-hmm. He snapped.
At the end. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Bruins yesterday, who can blame them? They lose a grueling back-to-back, and I'm surprised they played as well as they did. Anton Hudobin stood on his head. And they had a matinee, obviously, on Saturday. Then they have to fly over to Chicago and play. Marchand gets scratched with an upper body injury right before the game. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe at 9 o'clock. They're playing again without Backes. They're playing without McAvoy. They're playing without Bergeron, who didn't go on the trip. It's been 2 weeks since he fractured that bone in his foot, and they said they reevaluated him, and they said that he wasn't going to go on the trip. I'm guessing that they have the luxury of doing that, and they just want him to get completely healthy, and they don't want to risk anything happening. That's my belief. That's my hope. My whole thing with this team right now is, first of all, if you think this team is doesn't have a chance against Tampa Bay, you need to get your head examined. This might be the best team in hockey. This might be the best Bruins team since 2011. This team has got a factor to it that is beyond statistics. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, can be carried by different individuals during the course of a game. I mean, if you look at the game on Saturday, Marchand just won that game. Marchand just won it. He just said, I'm going to win this game. Here we go. So this is a team that is very, very capable of making a huge run.
And they have everything that you would want. You check off, right? Like you just said, they have that unique it factor with this team. They have the talent up top. They have the defensive forward that you need, and a guy that, you know, can shut down other teams in Bergeron. They have a guy who can score clutch goals in Bergeron, Marchand, whatever. Then they have the deep four lines. They have veterans. You know, you get into a scenario where your young guys aren't playing well in a series, you could bump Backus up to a second line, you know, to have Krejci, Nash, and Backus. I mean, you have all kinds of options now. And then their D is deep with a defensive defenseman and a guy that can move the puck and score and things like that. Every single pairing you have so many options. And then the goaltending with Rask and Hudobin, that it's like solid from one all the way down through.
Yeah, and I think that it's time for Rask to get another little bit of rest.
Did him well the first time around.
You're gonna need him. You're going to need him. If you want to go beat Tampa Bay, you need him in top form. Now, all the things you said about the Bruins are right, but just playing the other side of it, Tampa Bay has earned at least 1 point in 10 straight games.
And they're playing very well.
Yes, they are. And they have one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, or on the planet, if you want to extend it that far. But still, Vasilevsky was one great example of a goaltender that was drafted, you know, given a lot of time to develop, and then they finally traded Ben Bishop a couple of years ago. Was it last year? Traded Bishop last year and threw him the keys to the car, and he's been great this year. He struggled a little bit recently, but that's the thing about Tampa. They were winning games earlier this season 4-1 and 3-2. Now they're winning games 7-6 and 5-4. So they can play both ways. I mean, you can win games 7-6 and 5-4. Usually that doesn't last too long. But Tampa Bay's made it. This last run they've been on, they've just been outscoring teams. So that's the problem I've always had. There's no doubt the Bruins are one of the best teams in hockey. The problem is, another one of the best teams in hockey is a team you're going to have to play in the second round.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with all of this.
Well, I like the Bruins against just about anyone, especially if they get healthy and they can afford to rest guys. And Cassidy was talking about maybe not playing Chara yesterday until he found out that Marchand was going to be a scratch. And then he was talking about how difficult it's going to be to get Chara not to play, which I think is pretty funny. The idea that Cassidy's kind of
what?
I am going to play.
This is a guy who bikes the Tour de France course during the off season.
I'm going to get on the bike.
He had to stop doing that. He actually had to stop doing that because it was getting too grueling. And he's like, I have the game has taken away a passion of mine doing Tour de France.
You know, when he was a kid, his father, who's just about as big as he is, Zdenek, is a former wrestler.
Yeah. They had like a stone cottage in back where he would like stretch him out.
I know.
He was like a wrestler, right? He was like
a Zdenek, I believe, is the guy's name.
He was like an Olympic wrestler.
Yeah. Rack.
Yeah. Chara gets that from somewhere. I would imagine that's a bit of a
passed down,
a bit of a situation growing up where you're not taking many days off in the Chara household.
That's true.
Yeah,
no time to sit home and play video games.
No, I'm thinking
when you're a kid.
I'm thinking it's like Rocky IV out in the snow. You're lifting up.
Right, take that log.
Yeah, you're lifting up logs. You know, there's a fire under you, and you got to do pull-ups so you don't fall into it. But, Roach, you obviously work at WBZ-TV, and you put up a non-scientific poll. And what was the poll?
Yeah, last night for our sports final show, our Sunday night show, poll of about nearly 1,700 voters. on Twitter, and the question was pretty simple. Which are you most interested in right now and in going forward? Red Sox opener season, Celtics playoff run, Patriots free agency slash draft, or in Bruins playoff run? So what do you guys think the order was as far as where everyone stands in Boston sports fans right now?
Well, we've done it. We did it before, but we were right, is that it's got to be Bruins, Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox.
Yeah, and that order, 40% Bruins playoff run, 29% Pats free agency and draft, 21% Celtics playoff run, and 10% Red Sox opener and season.
Well, if you talk to people that have been in the building, and I quite frankly haven't been in the building in a long time for a Bruins game since they've gotten this hot, is if you think about it, everyone is saying that this has got an atmosphere of like a 2011, 2013. This is not a team like last year that's, you know, sneaking into the playoffs and you hope they get hot and go on a run. This is a team that people like, and this is a team that people believe in.
They almost might be a little bit different than that too, Fred. I think when you walk into that building, you get the sense that they're going to win. That's how it feels right now. That somehow, some way, and to me, what struck me from day one of watching this team is just their speed. Like, they're just constant in transition. They're just kind of buzzing around the entire game. Yeah, I mean, it's just fun to watch. And then it's almost become must listen to Beersy or Judd in the pregame show with Cassidy. He's so fascinating to listen to. He'll give you the honest opinion of every single guy, what he needs to do, where he's at, everything else. It's great to listen to. You know, he talks about Heinen. Maybe he needs a little bit of rest and get this going here. And, you know, I need him to release his shot a little bit quicker. He knows that. Just all kinds of fun. If you're Bruins fans, it's kind of like that, one of those must listen things right now to hear Cassidy pregame. And it's also, you know, not going to, you know, say anything. Sean Grandy, same type of thing with Stevens and stuff. I think that's the best part of the broadcast is the pregame with the coaches right now.
It's How cool. about your boy Sean McDonough getting the axe?
I know.
He was terrible, huh?
He was fine. He's Sean. No, Sean is just different. Sean would have grown, I think, more in year two with Gruden. You know, he just needs the right guys with him. Like, you hear some of the stuff he did, Billis and Raftery with college hoops. You hear his college football calls and everything like that. He's as professional, versatile as they come.
You thought he was real bad on Monday Night Football.
No, I just don't think it was comfortable yet, put it that way.
So why was he so uncomfortable?
I don't know. Maybe just he couldn't get comfortable with Gruden. Sometimes you're in a booth with certain people and it's just not, you know, the chemistry isn't there right away. It may take some time.
I might go, though, Gruden is the highest paid person at ESPN. I better get chemistry with him going right now.
Yeah, you know, but you can't create it sometimes, though, too, you know? And it might grow over time. I think it might have. And again, I go back, Sean's as professional as you get. I put him in any event, anywhere. He gets the job done. So
all of that is true, and we've had arguments during the season about this. But if you can't get along with Gruden, and that's fine, you're right. Sometimes the chemistry is not there. Then why did ESPN let him go after Gruden left?
Oh, snap.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, snap. It's too high profile for him. He couldn't handle it.
They've downgraded him back to, like, college games, you know, significant college games, which is fine. But that's a significant step back.
Well, you're only as good as the
understand.
People you work for. Yeah, I mean, that too.
Would you...
You know what I mean? That's like, if someone doesn't like you, they don't like you. So whoever he was working for, okay. At the end they determined they didn't like you, it doesn't mean Sean's a bad broadcaster.
Hey, Sean is a good broadcaster.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was he on Monday Night Football?
For Sean?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say...
Ten is awful.
Oh.
Is the worst ever.
He was like, on everything he does...
Like a 9?
He's so... No. No, I thought
a
he was
10?
Fine.
You bad. Think he was that bad?
No.
Here we go.
All right. Say whatever you want, Fred. Put it out there. Social media, whatever. Dan Roach said this.
I mean, you're friends with him, right?
Yeah.
And I can't believe you have the audacity to say he was that bad.
Here we go.
You know he listens.
You know?
He's a huge fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. Dan Roach taking shots. One thing I'll say about you is you don't play favorites. Your relationship be damned. No, McDonough was absolutely horrendous at that. And surprisingly horrendous.
I don't think so.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I just don't think there was chemistry there yet.
You thought he did well.
I thought he did fine.
You thought he, really?
I thought it would get better as they went along.
Was he the worst NFL play-by-play guy in television last year?
Oh, my gosh.
Who's
are you kidding
worse?
Me? I don't know, but there's guys out
Spiro Ditas.
I don't know who that is.
That's my point. You don't.
Spiro Dietis.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he was that bad,
He was the, I believe, C or D. I think he worked with Archuleta.
Hey, I watch Lions and Jets games. I get C and D broadcasters. Spielman's the worst analyst there is.
That's true.
I can't think of a worse play-by-play guy in the NFL.
Spiro Dietis. Why? Because he's the only guy I can think of.
All right, so you're just saying things. By the way, I'm hearing 15 to 18 inches now tomorrow.
Good.
Fantastic.
Hi, Jimmy with a fake.
There you go.
Well, there you go. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is from Guitar Fest, huh?
Yeah, Danny, you love it.
What is it this year and where is it?
I can just picture you.
Yeah.
Air guitar around the house.
The overbite.
What was the last piece of music that you purchased?
Oh, purchased?
Yeah, like even on the iTunes or something.
Yeah, I miss country. I've been listening to country. You know, just whatever's out there.
No, but did you enough to look where you would purchase it, or do you have like a Spotify account?
No, I have a Apple Music account. Pay $10 a month or whatever, and you download whatever you want.
Okay, and what do you download?
Country.
There? What in particular?
Anything. From
So you really have done your research. You know what you like.
No, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like,
so you just put on like, hey, country, and then it will just play.
Well, no, like you can go to the top 40 hot songs or whatever from the week, and you know whether it be I'm drawing a blank. I mean, Brett Eldridge and all these guys, and who's the young kid that's the hot one when country?
The hot young kid.
Yeah, he's got like four or five like big time hits. Why can't I remember his name?
What are some songs that you like?
Just life changes. Oh, Thomas Rhett. That's what I like. You
know? Okay. How does it go?
I don't know. You know.
You don't know how the song goes?
No, I do, but it's like life changes, that kind of stuff.
No, do you relate to that message?
I like all, Fred, all the country music songs. I can relate to them all.
Yeah, but sometimes.
All the same.
What about
love.
What about the sad ones?
Yeah. Tough ones sometimes.
You like that?
Yeah. You know. Get you in the mood.
In the mood to do what?
Sing, Sing them when I go home and I'm driving home.
Have a huge bang sesh at the home? They get you in the mood?
Yeah, no, So, it's all good.
So, if you're in your car and there's nothing, like, that you really like on the radio, you'll put on some country music?
Yeah. Like, hold on.
Do you have your baseball in your car?
I was just going to ask that.
Hold on.
It's a different bag, though. I don't know if the baseball is in that bag.
It's not as attaché case.
Yeah, it's a different bag.
Yeah, I have, like,
you got the baseball?
Yeah. Channel 4 mic flag.
Okay, very good.
This is a Channel 4 mic flag. He's going through his bag.
Like, Leave It to Beaver. I have my,
The exact baseball same magazine. One. That's scary, man.
Is it a fantasy baseball magazine?
Baseball magazine at home.
I have the same one. All right.
Hold on. Let me get to the front.
Okay.
There you go.
Two baseballs, Freddie.
There you go. You make your plans and you hear
God laugh in life. I mean, this is terrible.
Changes.
This is, you realize how terrible this is.
For the world, the world, oh no.
How is this a country song, by the way?
It's not.
It's just a guy with a southern accent. Who signed this ball?
What did you say? Signed?
Yeah, it says someone for. Oh, it's Pedro Martinez signed this.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Why is that not under glass? Why are you just kind of? Why is that just kind of rolling around in your bag?
If I'm at a charity event or something like that, I'll
you'll tease everyone with it.
Hey, everybody, look!
Look
what I'm bringing home tonight.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so what were you grabbing from your bag?
I know, I forgot my iPad.
Okay,
because like for instance, last night, right? Quick turnaround. Got out of Channel 4 at 12:30. Had to be here at 4. So
you got here at 4?
I got up at 4.
Okay.
And so I just I go into my library.
Right.
And I just need some music to sing. So I go into my Pat Super Bowl run playlist.
You didn't listen to Amy Lawrence?
No.
Okay.
And I got like different people just like to kind of mix it up. A little bit of Blake Shelton. I'll Name the Dogs. That's a cool song. That's a good, if you find that one, Danny, that's a good one.
I'll Name the Dogs.
I'll Name the Dogs. Yeah, you listen to the lyrics, it's pretty funny.
Is it about naming animals?
No, it's like, he meets a girl and she has her interest. You take care of this, I'll take care of this,
Okay.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
A little bit of Brett Young. I like Brett Young.
Okay, I don't know who any of these people are.
Some Carrie Underwood. She's in there.
No.
Kenny Chesney. Like that stuff. There goes my life. That's one that gets me teary-eyed as I drive home, Freddie. That's
have you ever you cry listening to music?
That one. Oof, sometimes.
How many days?
Luke Bryan, Hunting, Fishing, Loving Every Day.
Yeah, that's your lifestyle. How, at least that's a song you can relate to.
My next 30 years, that's a good one.
Now, Dan, be honest. How many times a year do you cry?
A year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Gosh. I cry about different things, like almost like every day. Something, you know, gets you. If you have any passion in your life, you'd cry too, Fred.
All right, what do you cry? I have passions in my life. What do you cry about? Like, how many times a month do you cry?
A couple times a month. You know what I mean? Just I'm watching a movie or a TV show. Or
what was the last thing that you watched that made you cry?
I don't know. It just kind of...
Oh, you watch This Is Us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Super Bowl Sunday episode. But I thought the following one, the Tuesday, was tough one.
Because it was the girl's fault.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how did she live with herself?
How did that not get to you? Did you cry? You don't cry any ever, do you?
No, I'm a tough guy.
Yeah.
I never cry.
Do you have a soft side? Like, do you, like, you know, seriously?
Someone say my belly.
Wait for it.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
No, but
for.
Do you?
A laugh.
Like with Steph, are you at a movie or something? Like, did you, like, oh, this
I
is
have
us?
A feeling that if I watched Wonder, which my wife and kids did, I could not. I have a feeling if I watched Wonder,
what
I would
was
cry.
Wonder?
About the kid that.
Oh, I saw that movie.
Yeah. Did you cry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get picked on, like, stupid
anything with
stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Anything with kids getting picked on.
Yes.
I will.
Why? Were you bullied as a kid?
What
did you bully?
I don't know. I was kind of a jerk in middle school.
Really?
I wasn't that bad
you?
In high school. Yeah.
Shocked.
You know, covering up for my insecurities, Danny boy. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I
strike
love you,
Freddy. Striking first before they can get it. Yes.
You're pure. You're raw.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but, like, yeah, anything where as people are being mean to kids. Like, even the last time that I teared up at something was a movie, and I don't know what it is, but I turned it on at a time, and Drew Barrymore was taking a kid away from the father, and the kid was screaming about how he didn't want to leave the father, and I started to well up. I didn't know the context of it. I didn't stick around to watch the rest of the movie. But I found it emotional.
Well, I've
Danny.
Noticed you've softened up. And again, I'm a loyal listener. Since as the kids get older, you can tell. I think it's a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
Yes, it is.
No,
I mean, you're still angry about stupid stuff every day.
Right.
But you have got a little bit of soft side coming through, and I love it.
I don't know how that's... Do you agree with him, John? Do you see a softer side?
No.
Okay. All right. Billy Jaffe is going to join us. There's
help
no
us,
commercials
Billy,
here. Just the headlines.
Touchdown goal!
Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5.